There's Steve Dale's Pet World. And then there's Steve Dale's Other World.
Oh, yeah.
Right here on WGN Plus.
Steve Dale's Other World on WGN Plus. This, in some ways, is the most important podcast I've done. If you live in Chicago, you know why we're here. I mean, there's been so much going on in the news. It's made national news. The mayor's talked about this a little bit, and the aldermen have. But I thought, okay, these guys, the aldermen, are really the worker bees. They are behind the scenes. And what's really going on in the city or not going on? And how do we move forward from whatever's gone on? So I have three aldermen with us in the studio. Alderman Ariel Reboyers from the 30th Ward, Alderman Pat Dowell from the 3rd Ward, Alderman James Kappelman from the 46th Ward. And I will say, I know this about all three of you, you are animal lovers.
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
Yes, we are. That is correct.
And me doing what I do, that matters a lot. I think I'll start with you, Alderman Reboyers, and I apologize if I'm getting your name not quite right.
You're fine. Thank you.
And well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
You've been an alderman for how many years now?
Oh, we're going on, I think, 13 years now. It's my fourth term in city government, as an alderman, I should say. 37 years with city government.
So as perhaps the senior alderman at this table.
Probably.
How do you view what's gone on? You've seen a lot of things happen in Chicago, good, bad, and otherwise. And now we're at a place where, I mean, I've lived here my whole life. I don't know, and I vaguely remember, I don't want to say if I'm old enough or not, when Martin Luther King was killed and in that era with all the riots and the Democratic Convention and all those things. I was pretty young, but I do. But this seems to be different, and it seems to be bad in some ways. So what's your perspective?
My perspective is, you know, being in city of Chicago, most of my adult life, I got here when I was 11 years old from New York City. However, I look at today's what's going on in the city of Chicago as the perfect storm. Lots going on. You can view it as we view it, or you can view it from an outsider's perspective, and it could mean several things to whoever is looking at each issue that is concerning Chicago, city of Chicago in general. And the reason why I say it's the perfect storm is because for every action you take, there's another equal and opposite reaction in the other, you can look at it from two directions, and we're seeing both opposites occurring with every incident that occurs here in Chicago.
So, fan of Mayor Emanuel or not, and I don't want this to be about politics, but fan of him or not, do you agree or disagree that a ton of what's going on now preceded him?
Yes,
and
no.
And this is all coming to a head at the same. Explain what you mean.
Yes and no, meaning that, you know, he's picked up where our predecessor left off at, Alderman Daley, Mayor Daley, I should say.
That's he not, got a demotion not there. Demo- for,
yeah. Let's not cause a demotion here. But, you know, we as city council are responsible for every issue or vote that we take. True. Mayor Emanuel has brought in a lot of things here to the city of Chicago, has introduced a lot of legislation, including new businesses, and we're talking about large businesses. We're talking about corporations that no one ever thinks about. Nobody talks about what the mayor has brought in here. And the corporations make a huge difference to the city of Chicago. And so each day we think about what goes on in the city of Chicago. And, you know, media, good news doesn't really make the media. Usually the tough articles, the tough headlines and the tough decisions do make a good radio talk show. But I think we should also talk about other things that we seldom mention on the air.
I think you're right about that. Mm-hmm. And I have an idea, which I'm going to talk about by the end of this podcast. Alderman Dowell, what's your take?
Well, to go back to your first question, I think one thing that's different than when the 60s and 70s were happening was the fact that we have social media. Mm. And with social media, anything you do today is going to be known about today. People are going to have an opinion. People are weighing in. People have thoughts. There's disagreements. And I think that, you know, everything that is going on in Chicago with the police and the videos and whether or not there's a budget at the state of Illinois, you know, the closing of schools like Chicago State University, people are having a say. And they're talking to their representatives quicker than they probably did back in the day.
Now, it's good that they're having a say, but sometimes are people misinformed and it snowballs and it gets out of control.
I agree. I think, you know, if you're going to weigh in and participate in the discussion, you have to also be willing to understand the facts. And sometimes people don't really understand the role of an alderman, why we take the positions that we take, how our decisions are impacted financially. I think that people should spend some time getting the information. And unfortunately, the media that we have today, both the Sun-Times, Tribune, radio, TV, they don't really delve into the deep specifics of what's going on. They only touch the surface, and that's a problem.
Okay, I see head shaking when you say that. So getting back to my original question, Alderman Kappelman, what do you think?
In 2012, I had the honor and privilege to go to Harvard Kennedy School of Government. It was a program for senior executives in government. And they talked about the incredible amount of polarization that exists all over this country and actually all over the world. And for this country, they said it's happened two other times where we see this polarization. And we're seeing it especially not only in the city level but on the state level. It's really
I would argue waves there. I would argue on the national level.
So, and the national level as well. Our President Obama would certainly agree with you on that. And they said that the variable that was in place all three times was the amount of income inequality that existed. The first time was right before the Civil War started. The second time was right before the Great Depression. And the third time is right now. And so it's that income inequality quality that we're seeing that's the huge amounts of disparity that's causing much unrest that I think also contributes to it, as well as what Alderman Dow said. You know, people, information is, there's blogs, there's Twitters, there's Facebook, and we all three, every alderman just about, engages in that. And that also, we have to be very guarded about what we say, because anything we say can easily be taken out of context and will blow up.
All right, Twitter doesn't give you enough characters to really say what you need to say.
True. So I want to get back to what all of you are saying in here. And in a sense, all agreeing. I mean, do you think that – I want to get back to my original question here. How bad are things now in Chicago? Should we be running for the hills, Alderman Rebreyes?
Absolutely not. You know, and it depends who you talk to. And the way the media will take an issue.
Okay, so the media has been mentioned by at least two of the three mm-hmm. of you. So it'll be my fault. How much of this is the media sort of creating its own? I said the snowball effect. Has the traditional media, I think you mentioned the Sun-Times and the Tribune, has this traditional media been a part of the problem, if you will?
Well, I mean, sometimes they don't get it right, but sometimes they do. Like, mm-hmm. for example, this morning, I think there's an article in the Tribune about the fact that 47% of African-American men between the ages of 20 and 24 are either not working or not in school. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when you ask how bad it is, I think we're in a rough period in Chicago right now. We need to make sure that we're making investments into the neighborhoods where we're having this income inequality. And we have to put our money where our priorities are. And sometimes our priorities are not in the right place.
I want to pick up on all this, but I want to back up a step or two, because I don't think people quite understand this very simple question. What do you do? what does an alderman do? I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that the public sometimes has misconceptions about what you all do. I'll start with
well,
you.
Well, if you look at the at what is out in the page of an alderman, if you Google it, it'll say in Chicago they are part-time employees.
What?
That's what they were. They were part-time employees.
A part-time employee where we work 60, 70,
yeah,
80 hours a week.
We probably, and in many cases, most of us do work 7 days a week. And you know, we the general public has our phones. They know how to reach us. We put in an insurmountable amount of time in every issue that we face in city government, not only just city council once a month. We also, most of us are members of numerous committees. I think we're down to about maybe 14 committees in Chicago. We once had about 21.
Okay, 14 total, and each of you is a member of a couple of
committees.
What do these
more than a couple.
More than a couple.
And what are these committees? Give me some examples. For instance, Alderman Dowell, which committees are you on?
I'm on the Housing and Real Estate Committee and the Transportation Committee and much more, Finance Committee, Budget. I could keep going.
And what do these committees do?
These committees look over the ordinances for the city. So, for example, on the Housing and Real Estate Committee, whenever a city sells a piece of land or whenever we put money into a housing project, those go into the housing committee and we make decisions on whether we support that. And if you look across the city of Chicago, there are 50 aldermen. And so 50 aldermen in any given time in a committee, you might have on the housing committee, you might have 20 wards that have an issue before the housing committee. In transportation, you probably have all 50 wards represented. In finance committee, maybe a little less. So we're handling the business of the city that's brought to each of those committees by the respective aldermen.
But you can,
in addition to the work that we do in our own ward. So I view my role as helping people. So, you know, somebody needs a tree trim or recycling didn't get picked up or they have an issue with people's gas or the cable company or the congressman or the state representatives and senators. We're the first line of defense. People know to come to us first.
And you're shaking your head. Yes, you know, Alderman Rebrayes is doing that. And Alderman Kappelman is that stuff. I mean, if you read the book, this is what the job of the alderman is. So if you look up alderman for Chicago in the dictionary, it's snow removal and garbage pickup first. Everything else comes later. Is that true?
Well, I mean, we have 50 wards, and the interesting thing about Chicago is all 50 wards are incredibly different. For instance, in the 46th ward, 97% of the housing stock is multi-unit buildings. In the ward directly west of me, the 47th ward, about 97% of the housing is single family. And so with that, the needs vary quite a bit. On the 46th ward, we're concerned about poverty, we're concerned about homelessness, and we're also concerned about gang violence. The 47th ward, a whole other host of different issues.
But what is common is garbage pickup and snow removal, no matter where you are.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a small part of all the things that we do. We have to, you know, create jobs. We have to make sure that our parks are up to par, work to improve our schools, approve zoning requests. I could go on.
Sure. Now, let me ask a tough question, but I'm sure it's what people think. Are you all a rubber stamp for this current mayor, do you think?
I'll be the first one to answer that. If you go according to the standards on the social media today, I am a rubber stamp employee or alderman. And they'll say that anybody that votes with the mayor 95% of the time is a rubber stamp alderman. I vote with what is best for my constituency, and that's how I see it. I've been known to say no on some matters. I've been known to argue the point on some matters where we may have taken a vote or I don't vote. But I am considered a rubber stamp employee or a rubber stamp alderman because my vote is the voice for the people of my ward. And if I feel that I'm getting the services that I'm requesting and it's improving the status of my ward, I will vote that way.
And I think the other thing is, and my voting record is a little bit lower, but I would think that people would see me on occasion to be a rubber stamp as well. But I think what the general public doesn't see, when you talk about what goes on behind the scenes, is when an ordinance or something comes before us, 9 times out of 10, we've had fights or discussions about it or conversations with our colleagues or in the committees before it actually hits the floor. So when it hits the floor for a vote, a lot of things have been worked out. Maybe some changes have been made, some modifications. People don't see that part of the work.
Alderman Kappelman.
I also look at, let's look at on the federal level. Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky.
Sure.
And Congressman Mike Quigley, U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. I am so lucky that you know, they have constituents in the 46th Ward. We don't look at them as rubber stamping President Obama. And we certainly don't look at it at state level. And I've lived in many different cities across the country, 11 different cities across the country. We don't use that term. One of the things I again learned in the Harvard Kennedy School of Government is that when we make decisions, as Alderman Pat Dowell says, there's a lot of work done behind the scenes. There's a lot of bargaining. And when I vote no, it's because I was not able to generate that support from my colleagues in the mayor's office to get it the way that I thought would be the best way to advocate for my constituents.
Do you feel that you have a voice in the future of Chicago, the short-term or a long-term future? I'll start with you.
Absolutely. I think all of us, because of our wards are so different, we start developing expertise in certain areas. And for me, I've focused a lot on addressing the needs of people with serious mental illness and homelessness. And because I'm a licensed clinical social worker who's dealt specifically with that, I want to continue working with the city to develop more policies that address those needs.
And I think beyond the committees, some of us serve on various task forces and other advisory committees where we can have input on certain topics that we care about. For example, I'm a member of the heroin task force, which is a epidemic in Chicago. So that's something I care about. So I participate in that. Other people have other committees that we participate on. So I think that we have a great deal of input into how policies are shaped in Chicago.
Well, the truth is that, you know, when we deal with specific issues, our wards are different in that sense. And what could be an eyesore in crime in one ward could be an eyesore in housing. But I too experience homelessness issues in my ward. And very seldom does that get any talk on. And I'm very passionate about issues relating to the homeless folks in our ward. And I've said that, and I advocate for that. And if you go to the budget hearings that I've attended in the last 13 years, I believe that this year was probably I got off my seat, and I think I started walking city council during the budget hearings. I didn't know that I did that. But it's just that, you know, I deal with this every day. And when I don't see improvement, I want folks to understand that we do this because we care. Otherwise, if you seldom hear us speak on an issue, a matter, then we're not doing our job.
Well, you know what? Let me jump in here. So for several years, I worked as a volunteer leading this task force on companion animals and public safety, bringing in expert veterinarians and other experts in the animal field to advise city council. And I worked at one time or another with, well, it was some years ago, so many, you were there.
I was there.
But many of the aldermen weren't, you know, or are now gone, who were there. I'll tell you, I had a whole different take on aldermen. I didn't meet a person who didn't truly care. Do you think that in some ways this picture is drawn of you that is not an accurate one, and it's got to be frustrating to be in those shoes.
It is so true, Steve. I got to say this because, you know, when I was at that hearing where you were one of the speakers, and I really appreciated what you said and what you do, we really care. And animals are one of the issues that we care about, obviously.
But a lot of issues.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you each, as Alderman Keppelman said, I mean, many of you, so we have 50 aldermen. In that 50, we have a couple, I don't know all the expertises, but we have some former firefighters, some former police officers. Yes, you are a certified or a, what's the proper
licensed
word?
Clinical social worker.
I mean,
business owners.
Yeah, we've got many business owners. I mean, lawyers, I'm not sure that's a good thing, but on and on and on with this expertise.
Without a doubt. I was a school teacher for a short period.
Okay, that's huge. That's huge.
And I did coach in several levels as well. But you know, this definitely has taken us all into a different area, and the majority of our constituency, they don't know exactly what we do. And you know, for all the listeners that are out there, I said, please come out to City Council, come out and see what we do during our hearings. Those of us that have 7 or 8 committee hearings that we attend on a monthly basis.
You don't have to join a health club, I will say that, because you're running from room to room to room always.
That is correct.
And I'm an urban planner by background as well, and I think that it's important for constituents that see us in the grocery store. They do it anyway, but when they see us in the grocery store or running around, walking our dog or something, to stop and inquire about what we do, to make sure that they share their thoughts about what's going on in the ward with us. It's important that people communicate with us, because if we don't know, we're not mind readers.
That's true, but you are communicated with in social media very often. But what's the best way? So if I have an issue that I'm concerned about in Chicago, and I want my alderman to further that issue, whatever it is, what is the best way? I know you all have office days. Do you really listen to those constituents? It seems like a stupid question, but it's one thing to hear people, and it's another thing to listen to them.
We have ward nights.
Right.
Mine is Monday night this evening, so it's a late night. We're there till about 7 o'clock, sometimes 9 o'clock, 9 p.m.
So if someone comes in, I mean, do you really actually pay attention?
Oh,
to what
yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah,
and if it's related
to better.
And you better is right. And you know, sometimes it's just related to a service that they need. But it's best to they come in and, you know, it's no appointment necessary. And they come in and there's no numbering. Just come in and write down on a piece of paper. We want you to give us your email so you can listen and hear, see our newsletters that go out weekly. But, yeah, we're very attentive.
I second that. You have to. I see mine on Thursday evenings between 6 and 8 p.m. You don't need an appointment. I'll give you first come, first serve, 15 minutes of my time. But I prefer to receive an email because an email gives me an opportunity to really see what you're saying and to be able to do some research on it to make sure that we can get back to you with some information that maybe you didn't have so you see a different perspective or to agree. So I prefer an email.
And I have open ward night on Mondays, 2 hours, again, coming in with no appointment necessary. And then sometimes after those meetings, then the open office hours, I will then go out to the ward. Because we have so many high rises, I'll also meet with large numbers of constituents in the high rises.
Same here.
That's smart. Very smart.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that expertise that we talked about, is that paid attention to in City Hall? So you're a licensed clinical social worker. You have expertise in urban planning of all things. I mean, that's perfect, that's, right? That's, yeah, I mean, is all of that paid and a former teacher? I mean, that's kind of an issue these days in the news, right?
And so, peddler.
What? Pardon me?
I was a peddler, Wrigley Field.
For how much?
Proud peddler.
Well, how much did you sell those hot dogs for back in the day?
No, not hot dogs. Items. Hats, caps, batting helmets.
I bet.
All teams and all sizes.
All teams, really?
Put that in Wikipedia.
That's right.
So how is that expertise, with the exception of being the peddler, but the other expert?
But I had a license, too. I want you to know that.
Of course you did. Is that paid attention to?
It comes out in budget hearings with the questions that we ask. That's where we see a lot of it. And then when I have a particular issue that I don't understand, I need to more a clarification, I know those aldermen who have that expertise, and I go to them.
But the mayor should be, and this is me talking, and you can say what you want here, but in my opinion, the mayor should be coming to you saying, okay, we have a problem here, and we do, as many cities do. Chicago's not alone with homeless issues.
Yes.
And come to you and say, oh, you know this stuff, and at least sit down with you and say, as an expert, and, well, what do you think?
I will have to agree with Alderman Roboris that I am very frustrated by the city's response to addressing homelessness. The number one issue to homelessness is also affordable housing, which makes it more complex.
And I would suggest just by walking around the city and being around the city as I am, that maybe anecdotally, just by the number of people I see on the street, it's worse today than it was 5 or 10 years ago.
And my issue is not homelessness. Mine is more, I want to see more local jobs created in my community.
Every community.
And so I like the fact that the mayor brings in these corporations and it's good for Chicago. But we need to make sure that these corporations also either hire from our communities, or when you're bringing in one downtown, bring one in to a South Side community, a West Side community, an African American community, a Latino community. We need more focused attention, and I would like to see the mayor do more of that.
So how do we get the mayor to do more of that? Well, paying attention to what you just said, paying attention to homelessness.
Part of it is our job. I think as aldermen, we've always focused on advocating for our own particular ward and our constituents, and we should. But many aldermen are just starting to grasp that the best way I can advocate for the 46th ward on the north side is I have to push for more job development and more economic development on the south side and west side. Because when that does not occur, we experience the brunt of that as well.
So are the aldermen working together? So I grew up in an era where sometimes the aldermen didn't work together. You know, as a kid, you'd hear, what was it called, City Hall Wars or something like that?
Council Wars.
Yeah, that was it.
In those days.
That was it, before our time,
yeah.
Right? Of course.
Of course.
But we heard about that. Is there more community among the 50 aldermen today than maybe when you started?
From my perspective, I see more of a working relationship in city council, from my perspective. And I think that's a good thing. And sometimes, obviously, we agree to disagree, but as long as we've taken one issue and we move forward on it, it's happened. And I want to say that it has improved. And you know, the thing is, the worst thing you want is every alderman to be on a yes vote and not question it. But the fact that we have other aldermen that do not agree with certain things, we want to hear those, because I think it's important to listen to their issues as well and why.
So yes or no, just from the three of you, I'll start with you, Alderman Kappelman. If the mayor were to propose something, and then after this, the questions that I really want to ask you what you're here today for, that I don't think the media has asked you. But first, if Mayor Emanuel were to say something that this is what he wanted and you just disagreed with it, would you be afraid, would you be concerned to vote no? Yes or no?
I would not be afraid, but I have never not been afraid. My relationship with Ron, my very first meeting with him, I said, if you want to get to me, there's three things that are very important. Number one, it must be fair. And number two, it must be grounded in the use of best practices. And number three, I want to make sure you understand the pros and cons of that decision. Both sides. So
like
that
unintended consequences.
Unintended
also.
Consequences, yeah. Because it happens all the time. And when the mayor does that to me, and when any of my colleagues do that to me, when constituents do that with me, and unions, they, you know, we're able to talk. We're able to move and get things done.
I'm not afraid to vote no if I don't agree with something that the mayor is offering, especially if it is going to be harmful to my community, or my community has indicated to me that they don't agree. So I've had votes that I've taken where I've been, even in the previous administration under Daley, where I was probably the only no vote on an issue, or under this mayor where I've had no votes. So it depends on the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good way of answering that question. But, you know, the mayor, when he proposes an issue or a solution, we want to know what, how, and how it's going to be implemented. The best thing we could do is share that with our constituents. In my case, is that we get little to no feedback on many of the issues. The biggest vote that we've taken in City Council just happened 2-3 months ago because we had an issue with our pensions. Now, think about this. We had pensions that were overdue.
Well, your pensions, you mean?
Police and fire.
Oh, right. Okay,
police
sure.
and fire pensions
sure.
that have been overdue.
Yes.
And we had no choice, but we had a mandate from the Supreme Court that says you better make a decision and make it now. You know, we could have said no. But where are we at? Where is Chicago in the event that we need services? We need our snow cleaned. We need our garbage picked up. You have to think about what Chicago is, where we're looking at in terms of the future. So in some cases like that, they're going to say, well, you're a rubber stamp voter. I voted because I think the police and fire deserve to have a pension like any other city employee for 37 years. That's me. I've got nothing else coming my way. I've got one pension only. I'm not a double dipper. I'm a municipal employee pension holder. And I intend to get my pension because I worked my tail off for it. I believe that the police and fire deserve
privilege
right.
It's not privilege.
That's afforded to them. It is their right.
Right, right.
They worked those years. They deserve to be compensated for that. We have nothing else.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a tough question, but you know what? Let's be forefront about it. Let's be upfront, and let's do it the right way.
All right. So here's why I brought you in the studio more than anything else. I don't know how you feel about it, and I'll hear it in a minute. I don't want to go through police video by police video. I don't want to go through whether the Chicago Teacher Union necessarily, whether the state should privatize or whatever the heck, or bankrupt them, which is, I guess, what our governor may want to do. I don't want to go. Where do we go? Bigger picture. Bigger picture. We've got the greatest city, I think, the greatest. I'm partial. I'm from here. But the greatest livable major city in America, like I'm sure you have. I've been to them all. And Chicago is terrific. We offer so much every day in the city. People do good things, some of them big things that make the news. But more often, most of those good things don't, in my opinion, make the news. So where do we go? Where do we go? Again, bigger picture. Where do we go from here to get us out of this place that we're in now, which you said, and I think anyone who's been around long enough, it's not. And all three of you have agreed, it's not the greatest place where we're at now. So we want to move forward. How do we do it? I'll start with the senior alderman at this table.
In terms of what's going on in terms of crime and
everything.
Shootings in
everything.
Chicago?
Everything.
Well, here,
it's not only crime and shooting, it's the teachers. It's
let's
the place
take, let's
that
take,
we're
let's
in.
Take the three highest items, schools, pensions,
police.
And police
yep.
accountability.
Yep.
In that session, schools right now are at a crossroads, meaning that they're going to blame the alderman. No matter what decisions the Chicago Teachers Union take, they're going to blame the alderman. We want to make one thing clear. The aldermen of City of Chicago, City Council, do not vote on CPS's budget. We do take responsibility on what's going on. We do ask to be held accountable on what we want to do moving forward. We've also, just recently, on schools we're talking about, we've also, many of us have signed on to allow to provide more TIF dollars to help the schools because...
You have to explain what that is, too.
Tax increment financing, because we do this at the end of each budget season. Anything that's left over, we give a certain percentages to the taxing bodies. The schools is one of them. All right, so, and it's a large amount, and we're hoping to get a little more to the system because... right now, we're not getting any help from the state of Illinois. So, and we've heard that. We talked about pensions earlier. Police and fire and municipal pensions, those three items were fixed. However, at someone's cost, without a doubt. It includes you and I, includes the three aldermen that are here today, includes everyone in city government that's being paid by city taxes. We have to hold people accountable for that. Moving forward, we had to vote on a tough matter, but we got those votes. Now we're talking about police. The police issues that we're dealing with today, it didn't just start 2 years, 5 years, 10 years back. This is a 100 years problem that we've had. Police need to be held more accountable to their actions. And not only just the police office in the street, but also the supervisory positions in terms of what happens during an involved shooting. It's not to say that we have bad police officers. That's not what I'm saying. But because of what's going on today, because of the media, it has been projected that we're hiding something from the immediate constituents. But those things are being we have reform in place. We're hoping that within some time we will fix this problem that we have. We need to be to hold everyone accountable. No doubt about it. It doesn't mean that we don't have good officers. We have excellent police officers. It's easy for us to call this now. We're Monday morning quarterbacks. It's easy for us to say, oh, I wouldn't have done that. You have to put yourself in that situation when you come to a call from an incident.
Well, yeah, I think that's being left out of all this, and I didn't want to get into the police video thing too much because mm-hmm. we could talk an hour just about that. But I will tell you, if I'm turning a corner and I think someone might have a gun and I'm there for that purpose as a police officer, you do have to make that instant decision, and maybe people have made the wrong decision. Maybe the culture in the Chicago Police Department isn't what it should be. As you mentioned,
right.
That's a problem of decades, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Having said all that, I don't want to be in those shoes where I have to make that decision.
Correct, and I think the average police officer doesn't want to be those shoes either, but the initial call will set the scene. The initial call from the 911 center, the call taker, if you don't have the proper information or all the information, it's questionable once they go out there. So it's very, very difficult, and you get a split second, it's a tough call.
It's getting tougher because now you have a split second. If you make the wrong decision, one of two things can happen: you die, or you're on television and end up losing your job.
That's
anyway.
Correct. That's
so
correct.
That doesn't seem fair in a way.
No, it doesn't. But you know, again, you swore to take on the job, for better or for worse. When you get out there, it's a call that you have to make, and you don't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah. Okay. Alderman,
I don't want to get into the weeds on this.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah.
I just think we need to have the moral courage to fix some real problems
that we have in
this country and in this city. So issues of race relations, issues of income equality, our taxation policy, the way schools are funded, so that if you live in Chicago, your children, Chicago children, get less money than children from the state, than children who live in Winnetka somewhere, mm-hmm. because we base our school funding on property taxes. We need to find another way. So we need to bite the bullet on a lot of these issues, and I think if we did that, things would be a lot better in Chicago.
Now, I know Alderman Kappelman a bit. You are the philosopher as well. So big picture-wise, how do we get there if you think we can?
The other two aldermen have just gave some incredible responses that just knocked my socks off, so kudos to them. How do we get there? It's going to be some really tough decisions that we've never had to face before. For instance, for the first time in this country's history since we began, government workers earn a higher income and they have more benefits than the private sector. So we're seeing privatization occur everywhere. And this is happening at a time where people are working two jobs just to pay their rent. 40 years ago, when I was going to college, and if I was going to go to college, I had to pay for my tuition, I had a part-time job paying all my own living expenses, and I graduated from college with zero debt. That's just not possible. So we have to address income inequality, and it's it's in the city of Chicago, but our issue is it's all over the world. So we have to work with our county and our state and our federal government. We need to, the President Obama is working with UN. We need to do everything we can to address income inequality, even in this area for housing. The fact that people are working two jobs to address to find housing, the average cost to even build affordable housing in the city of Chicago is $315,000 per unit.
But we're losing people. So Chicago is losing population. This doesn't help.
It doesn't. But it's a problem that's happening all over this country. So the good news is we can look to what other cities are doing and implement a lot of those same strategies. We have to be more efficient. Atlanta is they've reduced the cost of garbage collection by it's less than a third of what the city of Chicago is doing.
Well, or they eat more. So there isn't as much garbage. I don't know. But yeah.
We have to become more efficient. And we have to work at our building codes to make the cost of housing cheaper.
Okay. So Chicago right now, so we talked about some of the problems. There are upsides, too. There are things happening in this city, I think, and this is kind of where I wanted to go with this, that we should be very proud of, that happen every single day. Cultural events, great things that our park district offers, the skating, it's now cold enough out, I think, so the ice rinks are open all over the city, and little things like that, big things. You mentioned some of the businesses coming here. I mean, on and on and on with things that happen every single day that no one
knows about.
Yes.
That is correct. Well, here, last week we had the opportunity to visit the Malcolm X Junior College, a new facility. Unbelievable. It's probably going to be the number one two-year school in the country where they have actually on-site a live practice where nurses can actually do work on a mannequin that actually reacts to medicine as well as
like a robot.
It's like a robot, and it also talks to you if you inject the wrong medication into the mannequin. It will tell you. So if you look at what was there before Malcolm X, and you see what they got today, state-of-the-art, probably the number one two-year school in the country. Then you talk about what's going on across the street from the Chicago Blackhawks, the United Center. They're building a new state-of-the-art practice rink for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Indeed.
And not only are they doing that, but they're also allowing the kids and the from the folks from the community to be able to use that rink for free.
It makes me want to move to the community.
It becomes part of the community.
Yeah.
You don't see that, and people need to know that. Those are the good things.
Do you think we need to, Alderman Dowell, talk about these good things more than we do?
Yes, I do. And I think that they should be covered more. When I open up the Chicago Sun-Times on my iPhone, the first 5-6 stories are who got shot in North Lawndale, Bronzeville, Uptown. You know, those should not just be, there should be other stories there that keep people hopeful about all the positive changes that are coming into Chicago.
And
I mean, the fact that we're getting the Obama Presidential Library, big deal.
That's
huge.
Yeah.
It could go anywhere.
That is huge.
Although it should only be in Chicago, it could literally go anywhere. But those aren't things that, you know, we're talking about.
Yeah, and how do you feel?
Well, when I moved to Chicago 30 years ago, I was a former Franciscan friar, and I was studying for the priesthood here. And when I left the order, I flunked the vow of obedience. I realized that I could go to any city in the country. And I chose Chicago. And I chose it because of their rail system. I could go anywhere without a car.
Yeah.
It's nice not having to own a car if I don't need one. And I also love the park district. And I like the access to the park. And I've not I've said I've lived in 11 different cities. I've lived on the West Coast, East Coast, and the Southwest part of the country. And I chose Chicago, despite this miserable winter, because it's such a it's a livable city. It's a city of 77 neighborhoods. In my neighborhood, 90 languages spoken. When my family comes to visit, I show off Uptown. I show off Millennium Park. I show off the Park District. I show off downtown. People keep remarking that this is the cleanest city that they've ever have ever seen, hands down, and they can't get over the landscaping.
Yeah, and the restaurants.
And the architecture.
Restaurants,
the
architecture too, yes.
The restaurants.
Yeah.
The music, especially
yeah,
gospel music.
Yeah, yeah.
The blues.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is so much to talk about. How do we bring our city together now? And I'm not talking about race relations. I'm just talking about everybody, bigger than that. How do we, because to me right now, we're not at this moment. But I think people want that. I think, I don't speak for every Chicagoan, hardly, but I do think that people are tired of hearing about the same old thing over and over. And we do need to hear the news if something bad happens. Of course, we need to hear about that. Having said that, I'm ready to bring people together and for this city to move forward together to solve the problems.
Well, I think we're doing that. It's just that we're not putting it out enough. I don't do enough social messages. I've just started doing it. I think I'm doing okay for someone that was an illiterate with a smartphone. But I think you know that some of it we can't just punish ourselves. People should understand that we do work long hours. We really do care. We want the community to open up to us and, you know, give us some more ideas. Get involved. Go to more of your community alternative policing strategy meetings, not only when something happens to you or your neighbor, but get a little more involved. You know, get a little closer to the police department, a little closer to your CAPS police officers.
So I'm interrupting you only because I want to know how the rest of you feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do constituents need to get more involved? Are people kind of sitting back and complaining only when they complain, but not trying to do something about it?
Definitely agree with that. I think people need to not be what I call armchair quarterbacks and get in the game.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my constituents all the time, that, you know, I want them to be involved, because the truth of the matter is that an alderman is only as strong as the community that they represent. So if you have a lot of people coming to you and saying, well, we don't want this, and you go down there and tell the mayor that this is how you feel, I can go there and take that position with Rahm Emanuel about a certain topic, right? So I need my community to be more involved. I also think that, you know, unfortunately, you're interviewing us in the middle of winter, and being in Chicago, the season does have a dulling impact, you know. Chicago comes alive in the summertime.
Yes.
And that's a positive thing. And we need to just make sure that in our communities, and I'm sure all of us are doing that, that we have events that bring people together to celebrate, you know, our community and Chicago.
Alderman Kappelman.
The other thing I'm starting to do, I got a great idea from someone I know, is that because I have access to Twitter and Facebook, I'm starting to post things that make me proud to live in Chicago, and I'll put a hashtag.
Well, you can tell the background of that.
Okay.
It's okay.
So I actually spoke with Steve, about this, because we hear so many negative things, and I look at other papers across the other cities, their papers, and they're not so as negative as what I see in Chicago. And negative things are happening everywhere, but for some reason there's a much greater emphasis on that. And I think it's out of balance. Yes, we do need to talk about negative things, but we also need to talk about positive things. And I had a conversation with you and your wonderful wife, Robin, and we discussed this. What makes us proud to be Chicagoans? And it's going back and forth. I started using this hashtag Chicago Proud after I talk about something that is uplifting. And I think people
and it could be anything.
Anything.
Just something that's uplifting to you. So when I was telling you
branding.
About the, yeah.
Branding.
When, yeah, it is that. Mm-hmm. And it's inexpensive because you're just using social media. So when I was talking to you about it the first time, I was at one of those four-way stop signs in a community, and it was this other car's turn to go, and the other car waited for a lady that was about 120 years old, I think. And boy, that guy's probably still waiting, and this was months ago. I mean, she, you know, was going slow. But he waited. I did just say Chicago Proud, hashtag Chicago Proud. You know, it could be that's a little thing. But it made a big deal in her day, maybe. The lady was trying to cross the street. I mean, anything at all. I've used it for the national anthem at United Center, right? I mean, that's inspiring. Every time I hear it, it never gets old. It could be for something really dramatic, like this new architecture, this new building just down the street from where we are now. Mm-hmm. And I saw it go up, and it's going to be amazing. So same thing. And I know you've been doing it.
I like it when someone's a good neighbor, when they are doing a selfless act to make their neighborhood better, their street better.
Shoveling someone else's sidewalk.
Yes.
Sure.
Those kinds of things I like to highlight.
Yeah. Is this a good idea to you guys?
Excellent idea.
Oh, yes. Oh,
excellent
yes.
idea.
Because I am so proud to be from here, and I want to begin to shout that from the rafters because I'm sick and tired of only hearing the negative when so much good happens every single day.
You know, Steve, I do want to say that, you know, not only thank you for having us here today, but listen to three different perspectives and how we are passionate of the job that we undertook. In my case, and I know I speak for most of our colleagues that, you know, when you really care about something that you're doing, we leave home for last. We leave us for last, and you know we take work with us at home. Nobody knows that at 10 o'clock at night or 10:30 when I decide I'm going to go to bed that I'm looking at my emails at that time. Nobody knows that. My wife knows that, and they don't appreciate that. And the fact is that, you know, you leave yourself for last. Home does hurt, and it's tough to say. And I thank my lovely wife of 35 years for supporting what I do, because the reality is that there's no time. We don't care. We don't care what time it is. I want to see what that email says.
Well, and if there's a fire down the street in your ward at 3 in the morning, that's right.
Yeah,
so let me ask you one question, then we've got to wrap it up here. But in one sentence or two sentences, why do you do what you do?
I got to say that I care, and I don't I look at it each day as a different, you know, as I told my staff is when I leave my office, whether it's City Hall or my ward office, on that day, I want each and every one of them to ask themselves, did I help someone today? And if you feel you did that, then I'm proud of you. I care I'm proud that you cared enough to say, yes, I did, or no, I didn't. But if you didn't, I hope you got them some direction, because if we don't have an answer, we'll find an answer for them. It might be the right answer that they're looking for, but you have to be honest with your constituents. You got to tell them yes or no.
I don't know how you're going to top that answer, but Alderman Dowell?
I do what I do because I love people, and I'm motivated every day to see if I can make a change for the better or to add value to the environment that I exist in because I live there.
Mm-hmm.
We all had good parents that also pushed that in us. When I was a child, my dad died unexpectedly and left my mom raising 8 kids on her own. And we were devastated. We didn't know how we were going to survive financially either. But she had us, at Christmas time, give our presents to a family living in extreme poverty. She was a nurse that worked in an area with extreme poverty. So she had us give presents and a Christmas tree and a turkey to this family. And that left a profound impact on all 8 kids. All 8 of us have been community activists afterwards. So it's something that I think is just ingrained in us. We also, I grew up with John F. Kennedy, who said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. So it's just ingrained in us. We exist to give back.
And I had a father who was a janitor, who basically went to, did PTA meetings, who was active in the block club. And he used to drag me to all of the meetings. And, you know, I just went around with him at different places. And I saw the impact that, you know, you can have on a community just by being involved, getting away from the house and doing something different. That's and that was, you know, encouragement to me.
Well, go ahead.
I did want to say something because it's important for me to say this. Today's my dad's 88th birthday.
Nice. Yeah.
And he's not with us for the last 2 months.
Oh, okay.
So he was going through, he was living the job of the alderman through me. And I learned that from him. And I just wanted to put that in there because
I'm sorry for your loss.
I did it for Dad. And that's why we're here. Thank you.
We were all very, very lucky to have support from our families to get here. And that's one thing I do appreciate about our mayor is that when something happens for kids, he always goes back and he says, let's think about those parents.
Well, you know,
those kids.
I will even say this about Emmanuel. I don't know him. I think that, and maybe people can hear it in your voices. I mean, with what you just said, I mean, made me emotional. These guys care. You all care. And the 50 of you may not be always perfect. I'm not sure anyone is. But you're trying, and you're doing your best for your constituents. And it's not only because you want to be reelected again, although that's fine if you choose to run again. But choosing to run again can't be an easy decision in what is a very tough job. And I think, and I've been around aldermen enough to know, that the job is 24/7. And back when I was more involved, it wasn't quite as 24/7 because today, through social media, people can reach you 24/7.
And they do.
And they do.
And they do.
Exactly.
And they do, yeah.
But you respond, and that's the thing. And you respond for one reason, and that is one word, and that is because you, and the word is care. Yeah. You do. I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for the way in which you work in Chicago. My hope is that we can move forward with a smile on our face as one community, as one city. And that's why I wanted to have the three of you on. I'm grateful for your time. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.